My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live, and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at zion.org. That's spelled TSION.ORG. And now, let's begin today's reading.
What have you sown? But seeds of doubt, I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stain.
Thank you for joining me for Part 3 of Chapter 4, pages 110 through 112 of Come Out of Her, My People, the prophetic message of Yahushua the Messiah for our time. We shall now complete our search in the Scriptures on the final message of Yahushua to find final proof of the identity of Mystery Babylon. With this, the final destiny of this religious system will also be revealed to us. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Yahushua, which he had received from his Father. In times past, it was incorrectly referred to as the revelation of John. That is not quite correct, for it is called, quote, the revelation of Yahushua Messiah, which Elohim gave him to show his servants, and he sent and signified it by his messenger to his servant John. Unquote. What is this final message all about? The clue is given in Revelation 1:19. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things that will take place after this. Revelation 1:19 in the Scriptures version. Write therefore what you have seen, both what is now and what shall take place after these. Thus, the latter part of the book of Revelation tells us of the things which will take place after this. Bearing in mind that this book of Revelation was written plus or minus 96 CE, the contents of the latter part of Revelation is clearly prophecy for the final phase of the end time. Another proof that Revelation is mostly prophecy for the end time is the indication given in Revelation 1:10. Quote, I was in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, the latter being an oft-used scriptural term about 30 times for the final day of reckoning. The full verse from the Scriptures version from Revelation 1:10 is, I came to be in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. The chapters of Revelation are arranged somewhat chronologically. To illustrate, the last two chapters clearly speak of the new heaven and the new earth. Chapters 5 through 20 are arranged chronologically, but we do find that in some places, different visions or even different facets of the same happening or period are given. For instance, the judgment on Babylon in the end time is discussed in 5 different places. Revelation 14:8. And another messenger followed, saying, "Babel is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her whoring." In Revelation 16:19, "And the great city became divided into 3 parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And the great Babel was remembered before Elohim, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Revelation 17, verse 16 through 18. Revelation 17:16. "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these shall hate the whore, and lay her waste, and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." 17:17. "For Elohim did give it into their hearts to do his mind, to be of one mind, and to give their reign to the beast, until the words of Elohim shall be accomplished." And Revelation 17:18. "And the woman whom you saw is that great city, having sovereignty over the sovereigns of the earth." And Revelation 18:2-23. Revelation 18:2. "And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babel the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, and a haunt for every unclean and hated bird." 18:3. "Because all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her whoring, and the sovereigns of the earth have committed whoring with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her riotous living." 18:4. "And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues." 18:5. "Because her sins have piled up to reach the heaven, and Elohim has remembered her unrighteousnesses." 18:6. "Render to her as she indeed did render, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double." 7. "As much as she esteemed herself and lived riotously, so much torture and grief give to her, because in her heart she says, I sit as sovereigness, I am not a widow, and I do not see mourning at all." 18:8. "Because of this, her plagues shall come in one day: death and mourning and scarcity of food, and she shall be burned up with fire, because Yahweh Elohim, who judges her, is mighty." 18:9. And the sovereigns of the earth who committed whoring and lived riotously with her shall weep and mourn over her when they see the smoke of her burning. 18:10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torture, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babel, the mighty city, because your judgment has come in 1 hour." 18:11. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their merchandise anymore. 18:12. Merchandise of gold and silver, and precious stones, and pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all citron wood, and every object of ivory, and every object of most precious wood and bronze, and iron and marble. 13. And cinnamon, and incense, and fragrant oil, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and horses, and carriages, and bodies, and lives of men. 14. And the fruit that your being longed for has gone from you, and all your riches and splendor are lost to you, and you shall find them no more, not at all. 18:15. The merchants of these, those who became rich by her, shall stand at a distance for fear of her torture, weeping and mourning. 18:16. And saying, "Woe, woe, the great city that was dressed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches was laid waste, and every shipmaster, and every passenger, and sailors, and as many as worked the sea for their living, stood at a distance." 18:18. And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" 18:19. And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she was laid waste." 18:20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you set apart emissaries and prophets, for Elohim has completely avenged you on her. 21. And one mighty messenger picked up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, "With such a rush, the great city Babel shall be thrown down, and shall not be found any more at all." 18:22. And the sound of harpist, and musicians, and flutist, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more at all. And no craftsman of any trade shall be found in you any more at all. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more at all. 18:23. And the light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more at all. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more at all. For your merchants were the great ones of the sea, of the earth. For by your drug sorcery, all the nations were led astray. And Revelation 19, verses 2 and 3. Because true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her whoring, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Revelation 19:3. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rises up forever and ever. This does not mean that five different judgments are poured out on Babylon. It only relates to five phases or aspects or visions of the same judgment. Who or what is this mystery Babylon, the great harlot? Revelation 17:9 reveals to us that she is sitting on seven mountains. Revelation 17:9. Here is the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. This scripture immediately identifies her as Rome. The church fathers acknowledged this. Augustine, in his City of God, states in four places that Rome is the second Babylon, but more clearly so in two passages, which we have already discussed. Likewise, Tertullian wrote, quote, Babylon is a figure of the city Rome, unquote. Moreover, we discover the interesting fact of the following Roman Catholic clergyman admitted this too. The Jesuit Sylvester J. Hunter, Cardinal Newman, Bishop Bossuet of Meaux, Bishop Walmsley, Cardinal Voronius, Cardinal Bellarmine, Salmerone, Alcazar, Maldonatus, Andreas, and Bishop Victorinus. Even the Roman Catholic versions of the scriptures admit it in their footnotes on Revelation 17:5. Revelation 17:5. And he said to me, The waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, and crowds, and nations, and tongues. These are the Bibles that admit in their footnotes on this Revelation 17:5. The Douay Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, the Dutch Canisius translation, and the Dutch Willebrord translation. These translations admit that Rome is indeed Babylon, explaining that this Babylon is political Rome or pagan Rome. However, it cannot be a political system primarily, because the great harlot is a woman, and a woman in scripture is symbolic of a religious system and not a political government or system. However, we do agree with the identification pagan Rome, for it was indeed pagan Rome, pagan sun worship, which was victorious when Emperor Constantine championed the cause of his, quote, Sol Invictus, my companion, unquote. Constantine's sun-worshipping religion is foremost in that which is described as Mystery Babylon in Revelation. The sins of idolatrous sun worship, however, have persisted all through the centuries. The Catholics and the Protestants have all inherited these sins of pagan Rome's sun worship, and we must repent of these. Therefore, the call, "Come out of her, my people," Revelation 18:4, simply means to come out of the sins, particularly the sins of sun worship, which all of us inherited from pagan Rome. Most commentators admit that Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 comprises all apostasy found amongst Catholics as well as Protestants. The revelation which we have received, as proclaimed in this book, centers around the identification of this enormous idolatrous sin of sun worship, which we have inherited from pagan Rome. Constantine's Rome, an instrument in the hand of Yahweh. The scriptures are our only source of scriptural truths, and all revelation, which are important, are found in it, including the revelation of the, quote, "woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars," Revelation 12:1. Revelation 12:1 from the Scriptures Bible. "And a great sign was seen in the heavens, a woman clad with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." The call, "Come out of her, my people," means exactly just that. Our Elohim has called the mixing of true worship with that of sun worship wicked abominations in Ezekiel 8:9 through 16. Let's read those verses. Ezekiel 8:9. "And he said to me, 'Go in and see the evil abominations which they are doing there.'" 8:10. "And I went in and looked and saw all kinds of creeping creatures, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel carved all around the walls." Ezekiel 8:11. "And facing them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Yahazanyahu, son of Shaphan. Each one had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up." Ezekiel 8:12. "And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each one in the room of his idols? For they say, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land.'" 8:13. "And he said to me, 'You are to see still greater abominations, which they are doing.'" Ezekiel 8:14. "And he brought me to the door of the north gate of the house of Yahweh. And I saw a woman sitting there, weeping for Tammuz." 8:15. "Then he said to me, 'Have you seen this, O son of man? You are to see still greater abominations than these.'" Ezekiel 8:16. "And he brought me into the inner court of the house of Yahweh. And there at the door of the Hekel, or temple, of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yahweh, and their faces toward the east, and they were bowing themselves eastward to the sun." Elohim cannot change. Malachi 3:6 and James 1:17. Malachi 3:6. "For I am Yahweh, I shall not change. And you, O sons of Jacob, shall not come to an end. And James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of turning. Elohim cannot change. Therefore, his verdict on this mixed with sun worship is still the same, and his judgment upon it is fearsomely described in Revelation chapters 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19. These five chapters describe to us the plagues and final destruction that is to come upon Babylon. Quote, "And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication," unquote, by giving them to drink out of, quote, "a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication," unquote. Revelation 17:2-4. Let's read the fullness of those verses. 17:2. "With whom the sovereigns of the earth committed whoring, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her whoring." 17:3. "And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, covered with names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Revelation 17:4. "And the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup filled with abominations and the filthiness of her whoring." Unless we repent of these abominations, or idolatrous things, and fornication, or spiritual harlotry, we will not enter the New Jerusalem. In fact, our destiny will be in the lake of fire. We do not say so, but Yahushua says so. In Revelation 21:8, 21:27, and 22:15. Revelation 21:8. "But as for the cowardly and untrustworthy and abominable, and murderers, and those who whore, and drug sorcerers, and idolaters, and all the false, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Revelation 21:27. "And there shall by no means enter into whatever is unclean, neither anyone doing abomination and falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And Revelation 22:15, "But outside are the dogs, and those who enchant with drugs, and those who whore, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all who love and do falsehood." Let us read his clear verdict on this. Quote, "But to the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21, verse 8, from Barry Interlinear. Quote, "But there shall by no means enter it," meaning the New Jerusalem, "anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Revelation 21:27. Finally, Yahushua speaks of the absolute necessity of doing his Father's commandments. If we wish to enter the gates of the New Jerusalem, when he said in Revelation 22:14 through 15, quote, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that their authority shall be to the tree of life, and through the gate may enter into the city. But without are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone that loves and practices a lie." Very interlinear. It is very interesting that the commandments are contrasted with the lie. Likewise, the truth is contrasted with the lie in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 10. "And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth, in order for them to be saved." 2:11. "And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion, for them to believe the falsehood." And 2:12. "In order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness." The lawlessness of 2 Thessalonians 2:3 through 12 identifies this lie for us. 2 Thessalonians 3 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. "Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction." 2 Thessalonians 2:4. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim." 2:5. "Do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time." 2:7. "For the secret of lawlessness is already at work, only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst." 2:8. "And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming." 2:9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood." 2 Thessalonians 2:10. "And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth, in order for them to be saved." 2:11. "And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion, for them to believe the falsehood." And 2:12. "In order that they all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness." Yahushua thus exposes and reveals to us the great lie, the false teaching of, quote, "the law has been annulled," unquote. Similarly, Paul, writing in 2 Thessalonians 2, exposes the man of lawlessness and the mystery of lawlessness, the lie, the great apostasy. Messiah has already unmasked the tares in Matthew 13:25-42, as those who practice lawlessness, who will be cast into the furnace of fire. We're going to start with Matthew 13:24 and read through 30, and then we'll skip to the explanation of this first part. Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put before them, he being Yeshua. The rain of the heavens has become like a man who sowed good seed in his field. 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat and went away. 26. And when the blade sprouted and bore fruit, then the darnel also appeared. 27. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then does it have the darnel? 28. And he said to them, A man, an enemy did this. And the servant said to him, Do you wish then that we should go and gather them up? 29. But he said, No, lest while you gather up the darnel, you also uproot the wheat with them. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I shall say to the reapers, First gather the darnel and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. And now we skip to the parable of the weeds explained, starting in Matthew 13:36. Then, having sent the crowds away, Yeshua went into the house, and his taught ones came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the darnel of the field. 37. And he answering said to them, He who is sowing the good seed is the son of Adam. 38. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the rain. But the darnel are the sons of the wicked one. 39. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the messengers. 40. As the darnel then is gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be at the end of this age. 41. The Son of Adam shall send out his messengers, and they shall gather out of his reins all the stumbling blocks and those doing lawlessness. Matthew 13:42, And shall throw them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:43, Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the reign of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, Yahushua finally exposes the great lie of the law has been done away with. Those who practice lawlessness will not enter the new Jerusalem. Those who practice lawlessness will be cast into the furnace of fire, also cited as the lake of fire. We do not say so. Yahushua has said so. That's all we have time for today. We will complete the rest of this chapter starting on page 113 through 114, and the many scriptures we find within those two pages. In our next session, we hope you'll join us, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. Shalom.
You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Go on and lose it all. Unless you give it up, it only proves that you never heard the call to come away.
Come away. That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsiyon.org. And be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program. Could it be true? Has the church been in an apostate state since its inception? When did the church begin? Find answers to these questions and more. Tune in and check out the audio readings of the book, Come Out of Her, My People. This book discovers why our Father commands His people to come out. The readings include all the scriptures referred to in the narrative. Keep an eye on the schedule for each new program. Go to the website at zion.org, spelled tsiyon.org. Find the archived readings on the homepage of zion.org. Don't wait. Time is passing quickly. You need this information now.